You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
I'm Oswald Hoffman, speaker on the Lutheran Hour, and bringing Christ to the nations. People sometimes ask if it really makes a difference in your life if you have a deep and sincere faith in Jesus Christ. Well, it should, and it really does, as you can tell from the lives of real people who have proved it. Today, in a special program celebrating our Lord's resurrection, we'd like to tell you the story of Dan Watson, called Deacon by his friends. Deacon is a shift foreman at the Bancroft No. 4 coal mine. So let's meet the day shift at this coal mine, which is just about ready to shut down their digging equipment for a well-deserved lunch break. Our story is titled, Nothing to Lose. At the close of the story, I'll be back to tell you that I believe Jesus lives.
Hey, Mick, shut it down! What?
I need a break.
Well, where shall we dine today, Mr. Mitchell?
You asked me that yesterday.
Oh, it's only 2,000 feet to the top of this coal mine. Shall we eat on a digger or hike down the drift toward the rest of the gang?
Misery loves company.
Off we go. You load 16 tons and what do you get?
Cal, how long have you been here in the mines?
Let's see, 9 years. Ever since I quit high school.
And you still sing?
Deacon Dan Watson's been in the mines 27 years. He still sings, but he says God makes him sing.
Does God make you sing, too?
Nope. I just sing because I'm me. Well, here we are at the Mine Shaft Restaurant. Try our peanut butter and coal dust sandwich. You'll love it!
Yeah.
Hey, Mitch!
Hey, you shut up, Cal.
I haven't said a word.
It has been awful quiet.
Now, look, you're making sarcastic remarks while Deacon is trying to pray over his lunch.
Oh, that's all right, Cal. God can hear me just fine.
I'm glad he listens to somebody in this bunch.
Hey, sit down, Mitch. I've been moving that digger right along tonight.
Yeah?
2 weeks on the crew, and you're the best machine man I've got. You've been in the mines long?
7 years.
And before that?
I bummed around a couple of years after Vietnam. Not much of anything.
You were numb, huh? How long?
10 months. Got shot up, medevaced home. I'm okay now, though.
Well, that's something to be thankful for.
Yeah.
You married?
Divorced.
Any kids?
No. That's why she left. She wanted them. I didn't.
Mm-hmm. We got four, all grown and on their own now. God's been awful good to us.
I spent the last 10 years in jungles, VA hospitals, and coal mines. I eat lunch at 8 o'clock at night, and I see one sunset a week. I didn't figure some kid would appreciate me giving him a chance to do the same.
Oh, Henley, you lousy... You always got to be the joker,
oh,
don't you?
What did I do now?
That's what I'm going to do to you.
Hey, what did I do?
Yeah, what did Henley do?
Spread that red machine grease on Bill's peanut butter sandwich. Looks just like strawberry jelly, but it sure tastes different.
Hey,
not again.
Roof section fell. Cal! Cal!
It's okay, I'm all right.
He ain't gonna be when I catch him.
Get back here, Cal. Who bolted that roof?
A day shift as usual. They never do the job right.
I guess I'm gonna have to talk to the superintendent again. He's just gonna have to get that day crew straightened out.
I'm in here, Dan.
Well, I thought I was the only one working the hoot owl shift this week.
Oh, I was doing a little reading and decided to stay up till you got home. How'd things go today?
Roof section fell in during the lunch break. Nobody hurt, thank God.
That's the second time this week, isn't it?
Yeah. I've got to see the superintendent before my shift goes down tomorrow.
What else are you worried about?
What makes you think I'm worried about something else?
That little wrinkle between your eyes. I've watched it for the last 28 years.
Okay. His name's Steve Mitchell. New man on the crew. 30 years old, maybe. He acts like... Well, I guess he's like the digging machine he runs. Just works and works and works. No spark. Nothing to live for. Nothing to believe in.
He probably needs a good home-cooked meal. Why don't you invite him to church this Sunday and we'll bring him home for dinner?
I'm not sure he'd come, Anna.
You preaching this Sunday?
Yep, I reckon so.
Why don't you invite him? It's Easter. Maybe he goes to church at least once a year.
Maybe. But I get the feeling it's going to take more than a visit to church to get to him. I tell you, it's not safe, Mr. Sanders. We've had two roof cave-ins this week. And the roof boulders are doing a worse job the farther we dig. You know, if we ever have a bad cave-in, you're going to have to shut down the whole mine.
I don't think that's likely, Dan.
Well, if you don't make those roof boulders do the job right, that's exactly what we're going to have.
Now, I'll look into it, Dan. See what I can do.
Thank you, Mr. Sanders. I hope it's real soon because today's Saturday. And if I take my crew down again and that roof isn't right, I'm bringing them right back up.
All right, clean it up, men. The deacon's here.
Afternoon, deacon.
Hi, Mitch. Ready for a big Saturday night under the town?
Yeah, I guess. Say, how come everybody calls you deacon? You a preacher or something?
Yeah, never was ordained or anything like that, but I do give the Sunday morning message at the chapel every now and then. Matter of fact, I'm going to talk tomorrow. Why don't you come along and have dinner with Ann and me afterwards?
No, thanks.
It's Easter, you know.
Is it? I guess I don't pay much attention to things like that. I never was into superstition much.
Superstition?
Well, people just don't die and come back to life.
Even if they happen to be the son of God?
Gods that don't exist don't have sons.
You learned that in Vietnam?
I learned a lot of things there you wouldn't understand.
Try me.
Why should I?
Ever hear of a place called Korea?
Yeah, sure.
Well, that's where I ran into God.
Hey, Cal, what's for lunch?
Oh, that's Bill. He's the man with the taste for fine food. You know, it took him three bites to recognize a peanut butter and grease sandwich.
Oh, there it is.
All aboard! Last train to Hades!
Call topside and tell him this roof looks worse than ever. I'm not going to wait any longer. I'm going down to the digger and tell Mitch to shut down.
Okay, Deacon. Cal's down there with him.
I'll bring him back, too.
Deacon, I hope the man upstairs has some big hands under that roof.
Hey, Mitch. Mitch, shut her down.
Hey, Deacon, are we in the bonus tonnage yet?
No, Cal, and we're not going to be tonight. Come on, we're shutting down.
How come?
You've been in the mine 7 years, and you can't tell by looking at that roof?
Look, it's got support bolts, hasn't it?
Not near enough. Come on, let's go.
Well, first let me back the digger out a way.
Look out! Get down, Mitch, look out!
Wilson, here in number four. We got a roof fall. A big one, too. Not sure yet. Wait a minute, here comes Hart.
A roof caved in by the digger. Can't get within 40 feet of it. My methane ticker went crazy up at the fall. Must open up a gas pocket. We got to get everybody out of here before this whole place blows up.
Deacon went up to get Cal Henley and Steve Mitchell at the digger. Are they out?
No, the fall must have trapped them.
We can't leave them down there.
You want to risk 3 men or 15? Sound that horn and let's get these men out.
Deacon! Deacon!
I'm okay, I think. Hey, where's your helmet light? I can't see a thing.
It got knocked off. Let me feel around for it. Where's Mitch?
I don't know. Find that light, will you? Mitch! Mitch! Hang on, Mitch. I'm coming. You got yourself rescuer on, Cal?
Yeah. Here's the light.
Shine it over this way. Mitch? Oh, no. Cal, give me a hand.
He's still breathing a little. Yeah. Oh, he's out cold. It's a nasty gash on his head. This stuff is killing me.
Put his rescuer on him.
No good, Deacon. Look, it's all busted up.
Well, get mine on him, then. Try that lighter.
Not much room in here. How much air do you figure we got?
An hour, maybe. More with the rescuer. Keep that air tube in his mouth.
Hey, listen. Hey, I don't hear anybody digging out there.
Talking waste air. Just be quiet. Relax.
How long will it take to ventilate that area?
Well, if hands are working now, Mr. Sanders, an hour, maybe two, to clear it so a rescue team can go in.
Who's down there?
Deacon, Mitch, and Henley. As far as we can tell, everybody else is out.
I hope they've got some air back there. I want a team in there as soon as the methane reading is even close to safe.
Yes, sir.
Deacon?
Yeah?
You afraid to die?
We're not going to die, Cal.
Yeah, but are you afraid?
No, not really.
You think God's going to get us out of here?
I don't know. But if they carry me out, just going to be an old, worn-out body. I'll be with Jesus.
Are you sure?
Sure, I'm sure. I didn't find God in a foxhole in Korea. I found him in a field hospital, watching my best buddy die instead of me.
What do you mean?
I'd been wounded and couldn't move. My buddy and I were huddled in a bunker. The enemy tossed a grenade inside. He threw himself right on top of it.
But that doesn't have anything to do with God, does it?
It does. When you think that's exactly what Jesus did for us. He gave his life on the cross for you and me. He paid the penalty we deserved for our sins. So we could be forgiven and live eternally with him. His resurrection guarantees it.
Deacon, did Jesus die for me too?
You, Mitch, and me. For everybody. He did it because he loves us. I gave my life to Jesus Christ back there in Korea, and he still got it today.
Hey, you better take a turn on that rescuer, Deacon. I think Mitch is starting to come around.
No, keep it on him. He's got more to lose than I do.
Must have been delirious.
He wasn't any more delirious than I am right now, Mitch.
People just don't do things like that. They don't die for somebody they hardly know.
When Deacon kept that rescuer tube in your mouth, he knew all the time what it would cost him. He said he figured you had more to lose than he did. He said you'd understand because you'd been to Nam.
Understand what?
Oh, I guess what it means to have somebody die instead of you.
Oh, you're putting me on, Cal. That never happened.
Deacon's number was up. It was his time to go, that's all.
If he'd worn his own rescuer instead of putting it on you, the numbers would have been different.
Excuse me, I just dropped by to... I'm Anna Watson, Dan's wife.
I'm sorry, Mrs. Watson.
Are you Steve Mitchell?
No, I'm Henley. Cal Henley.
I'm Steve Mitchell.
Steve, my husband spoke very highly of you.
Your husband was a fine man, Mrs. Watson.
Yes.
It's going to be awfully hard without him. I know he's with the Lord. I'm sorry. I didn't want to break down and cry. I brought something for you, Steve.
For me?
Dan was going to preach this morning at the little chapel you can see right out the window. He didn't often write out his sermons, but this time he did. He called it Nothing to Lose. Steve, he wanted very much for you to come to a personal faith in Jesus Christ, just as he had. I thought you might like to read what Dan was going to say this morning.
Mrs. Watson, I would like to read it.
I can't stay. I just wanted to leave this with you. I'm so glad you're both all right. God bless you.
Goodbye, Mrs. Watson. God bless you. Hey, I want to read it when you're through, Mitch.
Cal, nobody ever gave me anything before. And now he had to go and... now he's dead.
Only the part they carried out, Mitch. Only the part they carried out.
The fact that Jesus lives made all the difference to Deacon Watson. He knew that in dying he had nothing to lose because he believed in Jesus and his triumphant victory over death on the first Easter. Now, you may sometimes feel that you're about to lose everything, but really you're not, because Jesus lives. And because he lives, you shall live also. As a memento of this special Easter broadcast, we'd like to offer you a bronze finished pin that features the inscription, Jesus Lives. It will be sent to you free and postpaid upon receipt of your letter of request addressed to the Lutheran Hour, St. Louis, Missouri, 631-39. And now we bring you the second segment of our program, an Easter homily by Dr. Oswald Hoffman, titled, I Believe Jesus Lives.
You just heard the story about Dan Watson, whom his friends knew as Deacon. It's also the story of Steve Mitchell, 29 years old, and Cal Henley, 25 years old. It's a story about older people and younger people. What the deacon had to say to these younger men was, nothing to lose. I don't know exactly what he was going to say in that talk the next Sunday, but I know one thing. He was going to say, I believe Jesus lives. He had found it out for himself, the hard way. That's the way to live, happily, without all the load that people carry around with them all the time. It's the same secret St. Paul learned for himself, the hard way. He said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. St. Paul believed in Jesus Christ. The deacon believed in Jesus Christ. I believe in Jesus Christ. That's why I'm talking to you today. I believe that Jesus Christ is really alive. It's not that he lives in our memory or imagination or even our admiration. He died and was raised again from the dead, alive and well. He still had the scars from the wounds that brought him to death, and he still has them today. The scars remind us not only that he is alive, but that he is Lord. Don't tell me that it doesn't make any difference whether Jesus Christ rose from the dead or not. It makes all the difference in the world. It made a lot of difference to the deacon. And it made a lot of difference to those two young men who were with him down there in that pit. It is life to believe in Jesus Christ and to live, as the deacon said, with nothing to lose. St. Paul said that he had just about given up everything in order to believe in Christ. What he had given up, he said, was more or less like rubbish anyhow. What he got with faith in Christ was a new life with nothing ever to lose. He found out for himself how true it is, as the Lord said, whoever saves his life for all that rubbish will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will find it. I believe in Jesus Christ, said St. Paul. When I lost everything else, it was just as if I had been crucified with Christ himself. Nevertheless, he said, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. It is life to have Christ living in your heart by faith. It's the secret of real life. Christ in you, the hope of glory. When you have that, you have nothing to lose. For St. Paul, as for every believer in Christ since that time, Jesus really rose from the dead. St. Paul was always telling people, let me remind you of the good news of Jesus Christ, in which you can take your stand, by which you are saved. I delivered to you, first of all, what I myself received, how that Christ died for our sins, as the Scripture said he would, that he was buried, and that he was raised again from the dead the third day, as the Scriptures said he would be. St. Paul went on to explain that Christ alive appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at one time, along with special appearances to Cephas, whose other name was Simon Peter, to the 12 apostles, to James, and to all kinds of people so that they could see for themselves that he was alive. He appeared to me too, said St. Paul, a little later than all the rest. I was born again in a rather untimely way. I'm the least of the apostles, unfit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. He said, I want you to know that I am aware that the Lord is alive. He appeared to me on the Damascus Road, and he called me to be one of his family. St. Paul was the last person in the world at that time of whom you would think that he would become a follower of Jesus Christ. He said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than all of them or any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God which was with me. The great act of God's grace is forgiveness. It's the one thing the world cannot give. The world may give you the shirt off its back, but it won't forgive. Most of the problems of the world come from the inability of the world to forgive, the absolute rejection of forgiveness from someone else, and the absolute refusal to forgive someone else. Forgiveness is the secret of God. He forgives for the sake of Jesus Christ, who died and rose again. In the scars of Jesus Christ, you see the forgiveness of God. He forgives you, and he forgives me. He does this for the sake of Jesus Christ, who is alive, because he died for us all, that we might be forgiven. I believe that Jesus Christ is alive. You can believe too, my friend, that Jesus Christ is alive. With faith in Christ, you can know the power of God to forgive and the glory of God to live. One man's faith in Jesus Christ during those dark hours in that dark mine made two young men realize how important life really is. They never gave it a thought until the crunch came. You remember the story. The crunch took the life of the deacon who lived out his life right to the hilt. When the crunch came, he just put himself in the place of Jesus Christ, as Jesus Christ has put himself in the place of us all. Even as he himself said, greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends, said Jesus Christ. What the deacon was going to talk about the next Sunday turned out to be a living sermon about death and about life. Well, you say, he lost his life, didn't he? Not really. Jesus Christ lost his life, you may say. Not really. He was raised from the dead, and he lives to be the Lord of heaven and earth. Believing in Jesus Christ is living with him. Whoever loses his life for Jesus Christ, with the gospel in his heart, finds out what it is really to live. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. The grace and the glory of God are in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We talk about him today because he is alive. We believe in him today because he's alive. The resurrection of Jesus Christ gives every believer the faith and the love to live. I believe that Jesus Christ is alive. I believe he's around with his lordly power, working his will and going his way in the world. He teaches me to respect you and even to love you. I have compassion for you as he has compassion for us all. I yearn for you to have the life in Christ, not to miss this glorious treasure because you're preoccupied with rubbish and garbage. I pray for you that you may be freed of the burdens that you bear, including the ones you have brought upon yourself. In the forgiveness of God and the grace of life that he confers upon all who believe in Jesus Christ. Believe in Jesus Christ, my friend, and enjoy the courage to live in the grace of God. Discard the garbage and the rubbish. And in the glory of God, take on new life, warmed by the flame of faith and love that are in Christ Jesus, crucified and now alive. Say it for yourself. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Believe. Believe and have life. Jesus Christ is alive. I believe that. Amen.
You have been listening to the 10th annual Easter special of the Lutheran Hour. Remember, if you would like to receive one of our free mementos, an attractive bronze finished pin that says Jesus Lives, simply write to this address, The Lutheran Hour, St. Louis, Missouri, 63139. At your request, we shall be happy to include a copy of the complete script of this program in regular print, in Braille for the blind, and also in sight-saving print for persons of limited vision. Just ask for a copy of Nothing to Lose. For information concerning the availability of cassette recordings of this program, please write to the same address. If this Easter finds you in a spiritual dilemma, perhaps we can be of service to you. So why not write to us? Just state your question or problem in a letter and address it to our counseling department. A member of our trained and dedicated staff will be glad to share with you the guidance and direction of God's Word. This special version of the Lutheran Hour was pre-recorded and came to you under the sponsorship of the Media Services Division of the International Lutheran Layman's League.